Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost means 50 days. Pentecost comes 50 days after Passover. Pentecost was originally referred to as the Feast of First Fruits, and it was emphasized by a special offering of two baked loaves made from freshly gathered wheat. And so it's designed to be a festival of giving your first fruits back to God. But in today's passage, Pentecost takes on a new meaning. So we are reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and rested each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this passage today, we pray that we would be feeling the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we would be reminded of how the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and He fills us. We pray that we would feel that filling today. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. How many of you stepped out last weekend, I think it was last weekend, and saw the Northern Lights? Did anybody go out and see the Northern Lights? So we did that, and I heard on the radio, somebody, they were talking, did you really see the Northern Lights if you only saw it through your phone? But we went out and we saw it. It was pretty cool. My kids thought it was really cool. And I'm really glad we did it. But if I continued to go out every night and look for the Northern Lights here in Kansas, it might become a little bit odd, because it was underneath, you know, special circumstances that we were able to see them. Refraction and electrical storms and all these things that made it possible for us to see them. Things beyond my understanding or control. And I think in a lot of ways we approach the Holy Spirit in the same way, where we see the Holy Spirit moving and working. We see these miraculous, beautiful things. And then we go out and we are looking for that consistency, the normalcy. And we might miss out on maybe the seemingly mundane ways that the Holy Spirit is already moving and working. Like, we might become so consumed with seeing the Northern Lights or stepping out and seeing it again that we might miss out on the fact that God hangs the stars in the sky every night. That by some mystery beyond our own understanding, that night turns into day and day turns into night. That the moon is created in such a way that it reflects light. That there's galaxies that are beyond our comprehension in size and scope and magnitude. In many ways, that's the way I think that we treat the Holy Spirit, that we're looking for this beautiful and magnificent, and sometimes we miss out on what He is already doing and we sometimes miss out that what he is already doing is just as magnificent as those other bright and shiny things. So on the first Pentecost, the disciples had just, you know, they'd been with Jesus, they had seen him crucified, now Jesus has been raised, and they spent 40 days with Jesus teaching, and then Jesus ascended into heaven. And then 10 days after his ascension is their gathering, we have this account, 50 days after Passover, and the Holy Spirit comes to them, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I was sending a helper. And here it is, and it's described as coming as these tongues of fire and as wind. Throughout Scripture, every time we see fire, or not every time we see fire, but fire is frequently used to symbolize the presence of God. Think to the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, and there's the pillar of fire. That the wind and breath are words that are synonymous or used frequently to describe the Holy Spirit. And so this first Pentecost and really moving forward is all about this filling of the Holy Spirit. And this filling so much so that it is overflowing. And the result of this in the first Pentecost is that these disciples were suddenly able to speak in languages that were not their own, but were able to be understood by those around them. And so we have this miraculous nature of the Holy Spirit arriving and empowering the disciples to do these marvelous and wonderful things. And then really we see throughout, you know, Acts how the Holy Spirit is moving and working in these amazing and miraculous ways, and how time and time again the devil is attacking the church. But instead of it damaging the church continues to grow and explode in rapid ways. You know, one of the most recent ways, and I think we have seen this, you know, is during COVID. You know, and I think that in some ways the devil was attacking the church during COVID. We shut down. Every church, you know, almost every church shut down. And people were thinking, we were thinking, well, what's going to happen to us as a church? Are we going to die? Are we going to be suffering financially? But instead, the church has exploded in growth, and it is reaching more people than it's ever reached before because of the prevalence of people being able to go to church online. And it's new. It's different. But the devil, you know, he tried to stop us, but again, the church is growing. So we have now in this New Testament era, the Holy Spirit resides in us. If you remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with God's people. And now the Holy Spirit is in God's people. And so as Christians, we proclaim that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we believe that he is alive and active, and we believe that he is just as alive and active today as he was on that day at Pentecost. At times, I think a lot of us are wondering, then why don't we see him more? Why don't we see him moving and working? And it's tempting, you know, to question the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we don't see miraculous things like tongues of fire or wind or people being healed or people speaking in different languages or whatever it might be, those apostolic gifts, where it's maybe not normative to see these miraculous gifts or powers of the Holy Spirit being put on display. It's tempting. But I would argue that if we're paying attention, even just a little, that we can witness the moving, working, and power of the Holy Spirit. Samuel Chadwick writes this. He says, the Holy Scriptures declare the Holy Spirit to be the revealer of all truth. the active agent in all works of redemption, and from first to last, the instrument of grace and the experience of salvation. In him, through him, and by him is the power that saves. Illumination and conviction, repentance and regeneration, assurance and sanctification, all are the work of God, the eternal Spirit. To the church, he is a source and supply of wisdom and power. The church is the body of Christ, indwelt and controlled by the Spirit. He directs, energizes, and controls. From first to last, this dispensation is a dispensation of the Spirit. The Bible can neither be accounted for nor interpreted but by his guidance. He holds the key. He is the key. Revealed truth can be known only through the revealer. The church is the body of Christ, begotten, unified, and indwelt by the Spirit. But forgetting the Spirit, men wrangle over limbs, functions, and orders. The Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Ghost. So that was a little bit longer of a quote, but I want to unpack it just a little bit because I think it does a pretty good job of describing what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. You know, we live in a world right now where the definition of truth, what is truth, who should we trust, who should we listen to, who has truth, is constantly being called into question. And the Holy Spirit steps into our life in such a way that he helps us to believe and understand the truth of God. One of the things that Chadwick writes about is that the Bible could neither have come into inception, or it could not have been created or understood apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the authors as they wrote it, and it is through the Holy Spirit that we are able to understand it. And I've talked about this before, but you know, many of you I know have read the same passage of Scripture over and over again, and suddenly that passage of Scripture takes new meaning in your life. Or where you have read it, you know, for years, and then suddenly, oh, that makes sense. I now understand that. And that's because the Holy Spirit is moving and working in your life in such a way that you're now able to understand what God is trying to communicate to you. It is through the Holy Spirit that we understand the grace of God, that we can begin that process of sanctification. So Jesus Christ died upon the cross in order that we might be justified before God. And because we are covered in the blood of Christ as Christians, we can stand before God and he views us as righteous. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is moving and working in our lives to actually make us be righteous. And I don't know about you, but if the Holy Spirit can move and work in the life of somebody like me, and who I once was, and somehow make me look even a little bit more like Jesus, that's pretty miraculous. And so the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and he begins this transformative process, and he draws us closer to God, and he begins to speak wisdom into our lives, and he offers us skills and ability and power beyond our own. And then as we step out in faith as Christians, we arrive in these moments where we may not know what to do, but we walk forward in them, and it's like, I didn't know that was going to go so well, but it went pretty well. And the reason that it went pretty well is because the Holy Spirit was in that moment. The Holy Spirit directs, energizes, and controls. So we, as a church, try to walk under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Try as we might, our success as a church can only lead us so far on our own. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we continue to thrive and do well. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that people continue to come to church here, that maybe new people come to visit, that maybe we begin to reach out into our neighborhood and people begin to understand that we are a church who loves them. All of that happens because the Holy Spirit is moving and working. And so as you're lying in bed on Sunday morning and you're thinking, do I really want to go to church this morning? My bed feels really nice. Do I really want to get up and go? And you hear that quiet prompting in your ear and it says, yeah, get up and go. It'll be worth it. It's the Holy Spirit moving and working, and the Holy Spirit is moving and working in your life in these maybe seemingly small ways, but they're only small because we've grown accustomed to them. Like the stars hanging in the sky, you know, we miss out on the miracle because we see it every day. But it is miraculous that our God holds all of that in the palm of our hands. It is just as miraculous that the Spirit of God whispers to you. Because if we understand our place in this creation, and how lowly we really are, and that God would be mindful of us and whisper to us and use us, that's miraculous. That He would somehow deem us worthy enough to put His Spirit inside of us in order that we might look more like Him and lead others to Christ. Friends, that's miraculous. That is the moving and working and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, there are opportunities where the northern lights appear and we should rejoice because the Holy Spirit is just as powerful now as He was then. And there are opportunities in the kingdom of God for us to see amazing things like the northern lights. But we cannot become so consumed with them that we miss out on the seemingly mundane, everyday working of the Holy Spirit. Because as He steps into your life and He offers you redemption, as He transforms you from the unsaved, hopeless sinner that you once were, and He makes you look a little bit more like Jesus, and He wipes away all of that dirt, and He makes you clean, it doesn't get any more miraculous than that. And so, the Holy Spirit moves and works. The Holy Spirit guides us as a church. The Holy Spirit guides us as individuals. He draws us closer to Christ. He helps us to live up to what we have already been given. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be hopeless. And that's exactly why Jesus promised that He would send Him, and He did, to be our helper. Because, friends, we need help. Let's receive it. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that You have sent Your Spirit to live inside of us. I pray that we would never lose sight of the daily, everyday working of the Holy Spirit in us. That we would never lose sight of the miraculous nature in which He moves and works in our lives. And yes, that we would celebrate those seemingly super miraculous moments, but it wouldn't help us to lose sight that Your power is with us every day. I pray that You would help us to see that You would help us to move forward step by step and lead others towards You. We pray these things in Your Son's holy name. Amen.